through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. These words of the Apostle Paul from the letter to the Galatians ring down to us across the centuries, speaking of the importance of the realization that we should have that we are called to live not by our own strength, not by our own will, not by our own vision, not by our own mind, but by God's will, God's strength, God's vision, God's mind. We are called to live with Christ empowering us and living within us. Paul wrote these words to the Galatian church right after telling them a wonderful story. A story of another great big mess, Ryan. A story of a really big mess in which the church met in Jerusalem for the first council. And at the first council, it was decided that Peter would be the apostle to the Jews and Paul would be the apostle to the Gentiles. And all they asked of Paul and the Gentile Christians was that they would remember the poor, the people of Jerusalem, the church in Jerusalem that had given up all of their possessions, all of their worldly goods. They did not say that the Gentiles had to give up eating ham and cheese sandwiches and pulled pork barbecue and fried catfish and sausage and all that other good unclean food. And they didn't say that the Gentile men had to get circumcised, and they didn't say that the Gentile women had to make clothing of only one kind of thread, and they didn't say that the Gentile farmers had to seed their fields with only one kind of seed. They said, all you have to do, we recognize your life, we recognize the ministry of Christ in your midst, we recognize Jesus in you. Just remember the poor. So there were no regulations set up. Just Peter, the apostle to the Jews, Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. And Paul goes back to Antioch, his home base. And he's there and Peter comes up. And they do what good Christians always do. We do it in Methodist church. I suppose you do it in Lutheran church too. When people come, we throw a big party and have a big meal. Like to eat.
Amen.
Who here likes to eat? All right. Ryan, your hand didn't go up. They had a big meal. And it was a bunch of Gentiles and some Jews. And they weren't eating kosher, friends. They were having the ham and cheese sandwich. They were having the chicken that had blood in it. And they were eating the medium rare steaks. And they were eating the pork, and they were eating all that good, wonderful Gentile food, unkosher food. And Peter looked at the table and said, that looks yummy. I'm just gonna have a good time eating this unkosher food. And he's sitting there eating with Paul and the Gentiles and the few Jews who were there, and suddenly, and the door opens, and in comes the brethren of James. And Ryan goes, uh-oh. That means everybody here is supposed to go, ooh. Let's try that again. In come the brethren of James. And Peter sees them. Knows that if they see him eating this ham and cheese sandwich, word's going to get back to the brother of the Lord in Jerusalem, back to James. And he's going to be in deep you-know-what. And so he gets up from that table and gets away as fast as he can. And Paul stands up, grabs the ham and cheese sandwich and says, Peter, you forgot your ham. Here, finish your pork. He called him out right there in front of the brethren of James. And then he says this, "For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me." It is Christ who lives in me. Now, I heard an amen over here somewhere.
Amen.
Thank you. It is Christ who lives in me. And how do you get Christ in you? How do you get Christ in you?
By loving him.
By partaking of his love, his presence, his grace, his holy word proclaimed, the hymns that we sing, the prayers that we pray, the sacramental meal that we receive, when we eat and drink with faith, when we read with faith, when we sing with faith, when we pray with faith, we partake and receive into ourselves Christ Jesus our Lord. That deserves an amen.
Amen.
I'm getting that out of Lutherans today. Wow. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. You know, I don't think I like that. You know, I really think that to be a good Christian, you ought to do this and do that, and don't do this and don't do that. A good Christian has a list of things that they do and a list of things that they don't do. They should behave a certain way. They should dress a certain way. They should act a certain way. They probably should smell a certain way. They certainly should eat certain things and not eat other things, and drink certain things and not drink other things. That's the brethren of James talking. That's the brethren of James talking. And Paul knocks it down. If righteousness, it's a better translation of justification here for this word, if righteousness comes through doing any of that, through keeping any of the law, the dietary regulations, or the things that we have distilled out of the law that we think people ought to do. I'm going to get really hard here. If righteousness comes by keeping the Ten Commandments, then Christ died for nothing. And what happens here at this altar is just a game. If what happens here is not a game, if what happens in this holy place is not a game, if this word is not just a bunch of myths, if the hymns that we sing are meaningful, if the prayers that we pray are not just empty words, if the many acts of faith are truly acts of faith and not just play acting, then we have died to the law. And this meal, and these words, and these hymns, and these prayers should be the very center of our lives. I love how you are set up in here. Gathered around the table, the Word. The founder of the Methodist movement, John Wesley, was called a Methodist because there was a method in his madness. A method. And he was also called a sacramentarian, Because part of that method was partaking of the sacraments. Believe it or not, and we think of Episcopalians today, we think of, you know, receiving communion every Sunday, like Lutherans. And praise be to Jesus, more Methodists. But in John Wesley's day, back in the 1700s, you were lucky if you received communion four times a year in the Church of England. Four times a year? That's worse than Baptist, friends. I grew up an Episcopalian. I was for a time a monk in a monastery. Yes, I'm a Methodist today. But in John Wesley's day, four times you were doing good to have communion. And he said, and he drew this not from himself, he drew it from the ancient church, from the Eastern Orthodox Church and the early Catholic Church. The idea that our entire living is surrounded and should be called to be surrounded by, and we should have our living surrounding the means of grace, the Word of God proclaimed, the Word of God incarnate at the altar in the sacrament of Holy Communion. And that, by partaking of the means of grace, by partaking of the Word, by partaking of prayer, by partaking of the hymns, by partaking of the fellowship together, by partaking of the Word consecrated in bread and wine, is the real presence of Jesus. By partaking of the means of grace, in this method, Wesley said, we have Christ in us.
Amen. Amen.
These actions are acts of faith. They're not works. I was once asked, what's the difference between a Baptist and a Methodist? And this works for Lutherans too, Episcopalians, Roman Catholics, even Presbyterians. The difference between a Baptist and them is this. How do you receive grace? Does it come directly from God? Without any mediation at all? Or does God use instruments? Baptists hate it when I do this. The scriptures. The Bible is a means of grace, an instrument through which we receive the grace of God.
Amen.
Prayer is an instrument through which we receive the grace of God. The sacrament of Holy Communion, the sacrament of Christian baptism, is a means of receiving the grace of God, the real presence of Jesus, Christ in us.
Amen.
That's the difference. Baptists believe it comes directly. Church of Christ believes it comes directly. Now, a good argument can be made that God doesn't need instrumentalities. But we do. We do. So my friends, what unites us, and this is what's being discovered in the commission of Methodists and Lutherans talking together, what unites us is an understanding that Christ comes to us through instrumentality. Through the Word, through the hymns, through the sacrament of communion. And when we receive them by faith, when we are made righteous by faith in Jesus Christ, by receiving these means of grace, we truly are given a new life to live. Hear what Paul said again with these words in mind. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. If you've been crucified with Christ, there's nothing that you can do. Christ did it all in his death on the cross. And it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. Partake of the means of grace. Partake of the real presence of Jesus at the altar, in the Word proclaimed, in your fellowshipping together. do not nullify the grace of God by thinking you can do it yourself, because you can't. I can't, you can't, we can't. Christ already has. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2007 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information, or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.